It's good to know that we have this many friends and well-wishers. Our minister hasn't yet shown up, so we're going ahead with the program without our opening prayer by the minister. We wanted to say thank you to the church that's been so good to us for so many years. Margie will introduce our speaker tonight.
Thank you, and good evening, friends. And let me add my welcome to our secretary, Ruth. I'm certainly happy to be the substitute chair lady tonight. You know, honesty is one of our very, 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 very important things, and I am in the role of a substitute. I have a little joke with myself about the substitute bit. When I was drinking, I didn't feel I was a very good substitute for anything. And that substitute, you know, didn't settle very well with me. Well, I came to AA, and those of you who remember Crawford Wright in the downtown office, he called me his substitute speaker. It seemed I never was a scheduled anything, always a substitute. And here I am at the 26th anniversary of our group, and I am the substitute chairman as a result of something, of course, that could not be helped. The scheduled speaker, chair lady, just could not get here. Well, I feel greatly privileged for many reasons. I feel, for an occasion such as we have here tonight, the 26th anniversary of the women's group, if I would have had the privilege to go far and wide, hither and yon, from one end of the world to the other, in the AA fellowship, I would not have been able to find a speaker that is appropriate for the anniversary meeting of a women's group as the gal that I found right at my doorstep. And for that, I am very, very grateful. She really would need no introduction, I'm sure. But here I'm going to present to you not only a fine Sister AA, but a fine woman, Elizabeth Bush.
We will open the meeting with a prayer, however, because that's the way I'm accustomed to opening meetings. Dear God, we ask you to bless this women's group. Help us see more clearly and discover the wonders in these AA years that lead to eternity. We ask for the gift of faith that we may know how good you are and what nobility you have planted in the heart of every woman who struggles with her own weakness. Give us patience to bear long years of effort. Give us charity that we may join you in compassion for our members who groan in discouragement or are tempted to drink when life seems to betray her. Give us hope to help us remember the great expectations we have of the future, always promising success in our AA endeavors that cannot fail if we do thy will, and happiness beyond our dreams, through Christ our Lord. Amen. It is indeed a privilege to talk to you people this evening. I had no idea that it would be so large a meeting. In fact, when I had dinner with these two girls, I was overwhelmed when they told me about it. I want to tell you a few things that I know about your group in the early years. This group started May 20th, 1941, with 5 members. Those members met every day, every afternoon, for coffee, and then a stroll through the dime store, because that was about all the money they had they wanted to purchase anything. It was my privilege to come into this group 3 months after they started. At that time, we had 15 members. I called us 15 tramps. When I look around at this assemblage tonight, and I see all these lovely young faces, and everyone beautifully dressed and so happy, believe you me, it does not compare with the early days. We were happy to a degree, but we certainly were not dressed this way. We had no money to spend. We were extremely zealous because, first of all, I have always felt that this fellowship was started for the men. And I don't think in the beginning the men particularly wanted it. But we needed the fellowship. They wanted to keep us in hiding, just as for years they had kept their wives or Aunt Susie or Cousin Nellie, who was a drunk. But they didn't want anyone to know it. So we had a lot of trouble coming out of those closets and getting into this society. But, you know, women are very stubborn and persevering, and we made it. And tonight certainly evidences that. We went along very nicely, and just shortly before I came into this group, a Miss Curlander came out to see the women members to ask if she could write an article in the Plain Dealer about this women's group. And my understanding is that this was the first women's group in the world, not the United States, but in the world. And you folks should be immensely proud of what you've done and what you have become. And I am immensely proud that I am allowed to still be called one of your members. Miss Curlander was told that she could write this article provided it remained anonymous. So she did. That, of course, brought quite a few inquiries to the group. And it was this article that sent me to the group. At that time, we had nothing but a post office address. So, when I wrote a card to the post office box number, why, a lady answered and came to my office and talked to me and explained what an alcoholic was, and assured me after talking to me for a few minutes that I was one, and I became a member of your early group. In those days, the most important thing in our lives was staying sober. If we got a call, we went immediately. It didn't matter where it was. And you must remember, none of us had cars. We had only streetcars. We had members from way out on the east side. They used me on many occasions to call on people who were in the downtown area, for the reason that my office was downtown. And at the time I came in, I was sure I was the only businesswoman in the city of Cleveland that had this problem. I remember very distinctly on one occasion, they sent me over to the jail to see a woman that they heard was a very good prospect. And I took my lunch hour and went over there this noon, and they let me upstairs and led me up to this grating to talk to the woman. I can't remember her name right now, it isn't important, but anyhow, I called for her. And she said that she was not an alcoholic, although she was in there for drunkenness, and was not interested at all. So I said, very well, and started to leave. And from the back of the room, I heard a woman call, and she said, "Lady, come back. I'll join your club." Well, that was sort of a new idea, because I wasn't down there to recruit any and all kinds of members. But at the same time, it gives you an idea of some of the things we ran into in the early days. By the end of 1941, which was less than a year, we had 35 members in your women's group. Now, I don't know how good they were, but at least they showed a willingness and they were helpful. And I have right in front of me the list of the membership. None of them are here. I have no idea what has happened to them. But we at least got a start. Some of them, of course, have passed away. Our beloved Kate Nolan, who came in June, when your group was just a month old, lived to enjoy 10.5 years of sobriety with your group and did a tremendous amount of work for your group. During the Christmas season, Kate and my sponsor, who was Marion Russell, both had the flu. So they said, could I run the baby? Well, my goodness me, it sounded like a tremendous thing to me to try to run the meetings and that sort of thing. But we considered it not only a privilege, but a tremendous responsibility. We must do the things that were asked of us. So I undertook to run the couple of meetings that we had during the Christmas time. On the 23rd of December of that year, I led my first meeting. In going through these papers, which I felt would interest you people here tonight, I ran across some of the remarks I made that night. And strangely enough, they are just as appropriate today. AA is basically the same. And I would have no hesitation to say them to you now, 26 years later. Many things have changed, but the 12 steps and the 4 absolutes and the 10 commandments have not changed. And if we will go along with those, we are sure of staying sober. Here are a few of the remarks I made that December. To an AA, this season of the year, which is a time of gaiety, joy, and children's laughter, when all human beings somehow become charged with the spirit of the babe of Bethlehem and express the spirit of charity and of divine peace, it should be an inspiration. As drinking alcoholics, we considered our own desires important enough to place above all things families, friends, business associates, work, love. Now we hope and pray that as AAs, we are giving of ourselves as we formerly took, kindly disposed, uncritical, and tolerant. For tolerance is giving too. Imputing to the other fellow the right motives, the decent reasons for his actions, the understanding of his nature. This we ask of others. This we must give, regardless of what we receive. Marion Russell was a very fine sponsor. She also was a very fine secretary. She too did a great deal of work for this group. And on December 30th, when we had our meeting, she sent this greeting to us, and I shall always treasure it. To my girl, it is with deep regret that I cannot be with you tonight. The last meeting of the year and the first one I have missed since the group organized. The new year will soon be here with new duties, new conflicts, new trials, new opportunities. To all of us afflicted as we were, God has bestowed on us his blessings. How rich we are to start the new year. Keep your trust in God, and this shall be the happy and prosperous new year I wish for each and every one of you. With love, Marion Russell. When you talk of anniversaries, naturally, you think of the ones who have gone before. And I think it is only fitting that we pay tribute to the departed members who have left such a valuable imprint on the lives of you and me. This is one of the oldest groups in Cleveland, and it is only natural that the pioneers are slipping away very fast. That is to be expected. Those of us who are left must keep the faith, both for the past and the future. We may mourn our loss, but as Christians, we may not mourn the dead, but rather remember that they gave us their dearest and their best. They keep the holiest. Yet for their giving, our fitting tribute is not grief and tears, but the same ardent vision in our living as that which shone compelling in their eyes, uncovered by death and all its dreadful fears. Then, when at last these glorious dreamers rise, the world we keep for them might almost seem the living substance of their lofty dream. One of the first groups, mixed groups, to give recognition to your women's group was Charlie Sanders' group. At that time, I think it was Trinity. Now, I believe it is Brookman. Charlie never missed an opportunity to do something for the women, to put the women in the spotlight, and you have no idea what a tremendous help he was. And it is always a delight to me to run into him, as we did at the banquet last Saturday night, and again tonight. There aren't many here who are my age. There are a few who have been in as long. And the rest of you, I feel that to a degree we have left a heritage, but it's in wonderful hands. Somebody made a remark to me tonight about my age. My age is a phenomenon. I have had 17 birthdays. I was born on February 29th, 1892. So I really am not nearly as old as you folks think, or as I stand up here shaking. There is only one thing I am sure that has kept me sober, and that is following the AA precepts on a 24-hour plan. I think you must have God's help and an overwhelming desire, a willingness to listen to direction of others in a conquest of self, And you must practice the AA principles in all your affairs, not just AA. I came into this program 26 years ago alone. One daughter had married, the other had moved to Columbus. My girls were adults. They knew all about Mama's drinking. And Mama was certainly a very poor excuse for a mom. But through the teachings of this group, I enjoyed 20 years with a dear little daughter, and we had a most happy time together. And the good Lord saw fit to take her away about 5 years ago. Had it not been for the teachings of you folks, I'm sure I would have resorted to drinking. Because in our serenity prayer, the very hardest thing for me to understand is, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The wisdom to know the difference is not so tough, nor is the last part. But the first part I have always had difficulty with, and I keep trying and trying. And it seems, as the years go by, instead of having it easier, things get a little bit harder. Because so many times you're saying goodbye, and you aren't equipped for it, unless you try to be a good AA. I never had the rewarding experience of hospitalization, nor the thrill of making direct demands to my beloved husband and to my parents. So in that way, I missed a lot. But don't feel sorry for me. I've had an awful lot. In life, somehow or other, I made 3 wonderful choices. One was my husband, a great and good gentleman who did not deserve the treatment he got many times. He was a great Christian, and I'm trying so hard to practice the things that I should have done then. The second choice was AA, because it was a choice. And the 26 years that I have been in, despite the fact that I have had sorrows, poor health, many things, have been simply delightful. And the third choice was my work. There must have been, and there must be, a guardian angel standing over me to have enjoyed and to be still enjoying these wonderful things. because I am still enjoying AA. And I am still enjoying my work. I happen to be privileged to work with and for an AA, which is a rare thing. And we can have a meeting any day in the week in our office. In our office are four old-timers. And if you think for a minute that you can put anything over any of those or go back to any of your old attitudes of arrogance and smart-aleckiness and not be told right off the bat, you're wrong. All four of us talked man to man. And it is a great experience. And it's wonderful to work for a man who you know is also practicing the AA principle in everything he does. I do not feel that this is a sobering up program. To me, it is a way of life. And the greatest danger for the old timer is complacency. The last three steps are extremely important. I try to remember that I have responsibilities as a human being, toward Almighty God, toward my church, toward my fellow man, be he AA or not, toward my employer and employee, and toward the community. This has been a most memorable occasion for me. I hope I have given you some idea of some of the things that were instilled in me by this beautiful group of women and the quality of AA that they have always practiced. I would like to leave you with a song in your heart, in the words of Oscar Hammerstein, which quite typifies our way of life. A bell is no bell till you ring it. A song is no song till you sing it. And love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. May we close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, be thy name. Thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Elizabeth, I can't tell you how proud and grateful we are that you were our speaker tonight. The things you said, I think all of us will take away. You carried out still further an idea I heard quite a little bit in a lead in the program. A man said it isn't how you live the 2 hours, a week or twice a week that you're at a meeting. It's how you carry these principles into all your affairs. I've remembered that, and tonight your message was very much along the same line. We're real proud to have had you. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this recording. Please check out our website at sobrietytalks.com. You can also contact us by sending an email to sobrietytalks@aol.com. Thank you.